This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Watching the sanctions regime on Russia, Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution. The story begins with oil, then it goes to natural gas. Michael, a very good evening to you. The price of oil, a barrel of oil at West Texas and at Brent crude continues to drop gradually. However, you tell me there's more to find here about the price of oil, how much it's charged the best customers. They used to be China and India. Is that still correct? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And still China and India and plus Turkey are the major Russian importers and buyers of oil. But the problem is the declining oil prices because of several factors. The most important, U.S. shale, because the United States is now reaching 13.5 million barrels per day, by far the largest oil producer and the largest oil exporter in the world. Then the OPEC countries increased their oil quotas by 1.65 million barrels per day. Half of it is compensation for past increases, but half will be on the market. And so all together in the next several months, all international agencies and the United States Energy Information Administration are predicting the following. One, there will be 1.5 to 2 million barrels per day oil surplus. It's an oil glut in the world for as long as the eye can see. And prices will go down. So prices are predicted officially by the United States government to be $62 per barrel in the last quarter of 2025, $52 per barrel in 2026. And given the discount of $13 or so, Russian oil will trade in the market around $40 per barrel, which is terrible for the Russian budget and for the Russian economy.
The Turkey purchasing. You tell me that Turkey and Donald Trump have been talking. To what end?
Well, Turkey used to be or looked to be a hold up. Trump said several days ago, coined the phrase that the NATO countries, mainly meaning Turkey, the NATO countries are funding the war against themselves. And that's a fair assessment because they were buying Russian oil and Russian gas. Now the major buyer remains Turkey. Now we have the news. Looked like Turkey was a hold up, not anymore, because they signed a 20-year contract with the United States on long-term natural gas purchases, liquefied natural gas, LNG. They're building terminals for LNG up to 70 billion cubic meters per year. And they don't need as much. Their total use is 52 billion cubic meters per year. So they will resell this natural gas. They have a good deal with the United States. And now turns out that their contracts with Russia are expiring and they are ready to abandon Russian gas supply. There are pipelines there, but they wouldn't need them anymore. So Turkey is no longer a hold up. Russia is squeezed by the European Union, which will end Russian gas purchases by the end of 2027. And now the short-term contracts are expiring, so even in 2026 there will be fewer Russian gas. Now Russian gas is only 12% of the entire imports of gas in Europe, will be less. Turkey will be out, and so with this on the gas front, Russia will be squeezed in addition to declining oil prices.
India, you tell me that Russia doesn't want rupees, is that correct?
India has been the problem with Russian oil for years because India pays in rupees, but there are not many goods to buy for rupees from India by Russia. So Russia uses rupees domestically as a store of value that allows people to get accounts with high interest and invites Russian households. But generally now, Russians' patience has run out, and Russia demands now, Russian companies, that India pays in renminbi. Renminbi is highly valued in Russia. The problem for India is that India has a huge trade deficit with China. Where would India get renminbi? The trade deficit is close to $100 billion a year. So they don't have the renminbi to pay for their own exports of manufacturing goods and electronics from China. How will they find the renminbi to pay for Russian oil? So Russia demands paying in renminbi. India doesn't have renminbi, and Russia doesn't want rupees.
Other twists and turns of the scale. At right now, oil is dropping in price. Russia is losing a customer in natural gas in Turkey. They don't want the rupees from India, so they've got a quandary they can't solve. What about China? Any change there? Are they asking for a bigger discount?
Now the Russian president revealed that Russia is subsidizing India to the tune of $10 billion a year, which implies, with 2 million barrels per day selling oil, implies $13.6 per barrel of oil subsidy or oil discount. Now China, the problem is that the Chinese now revealed that all this talk, they allowed the Russians to talk about the construction of new pipeline, the Power of Siberia 2, with the capacity of 50 billion cubic meters a year, it is not going to be realized. There is no agreement about anything. Who will finance it? Excuse me. Who will finance it? What the prices will
but
be?
But they made big announcements, Michael. Is that all never mind? They just changed their mind?
It's all never mind. And they said that maybe 5 years from now something will start. Now the Russians are saying they don't even be they won't be even able to pump and produce for China 50 billion cubic meters a year, maybe half of that, maybe 25. But generally, this is one of those projects that they delayed for many, many years. Russia wants it, but the Chinese don't need it, because now the Chinese built again the capacity, a lot of capacity for LNG, and they're buying gas. There is a huge glut of natural gas, especially thanks to the United States, huge glut of natural gas on the world market.
Cryptocurrency. There was a story in the Financial Times that the Russians have been using cryptocurrency, but you tell me they depend upon stablecoin. How does it work?
Well, the Russians have problem with payments. So there are no sanctions on natural gas. They can sell natural gas. The sanctions on oil are now kind of redundant, because oil, Russian oil, sells under the price cap. So they can sell. The problem is payments. They can't get payments, because all the banks, all the transactions are under the US and UK and EU sanctions. And so they invent all sorts of, through third countries, all sorts of inventive, creative ways. And Bitcoin and stablecoin, they come very handy, because they're unregulated. And now they set up a special bank in Kyrgyzstan and Central Asia, owned mostly by Russian company, which converts all these payments into stablecoin, and stablecoin then the Russians are converted into rubles.
Gold. We initially started our conversations about gold. We have less than a minute. Gold is now through $4,000 an ounce. Is that good or bad for Russia?
Oh, it's excellent for Russia, because they made a smart bet on gold. They buy a lot of gold from local producers. They have a budget deficit, which is approaching by the end of the year 3.5%. And the only way to finance it is that the Ministry of Finance will sell gold to domestic buyers.
Michael Bernstam reporting on the Russian sanctions, oil, gas, currencies, and now gold, crypto, and coal.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.